It's the Continental Wrestling Go Home Show for 1987. Of course, when you're a wrestling fan, and a big wrestling fan, those kind of things are a consideration, aren't they? It's not as if they've said, well, let's show you what we did in 1986. But this is the last show of the year. And I know that Bullet said, some people won't be here next year. But a lot of people are saying this week, well, I'm going to be here next year, you know. So I don't know whether news has travelled and everyone's making a claim for you. I've got to be here next year. I'm doing a lot of things. And Kevin Sullivan is still... It's quite interesting what they've done, because he's been there for, a month and a half, perhaps? Maybe it's longer. But it seems about a month and a half, and he came in with a real blast and brought the headhunters in, and the New Guinea headhunters, that would be. And he went to all sorts of different places and saw the seafood and all of that, and was strapped to the singing ringing tree or something like that, and had arrows in his back, and then bungee jumped off some kind of dam or into a reservoir, I don't know, something like that anyway. And then he did a parachute jump without his parachute, you know. And he's lately seemed to have lost a bit of confidence. Remember I said last week Kevin Sullivan is a changing? Well, that continues this week. He's not got the I'll fight anyone, anytime, anywhere, because I know I can win, because I've got me men here. But he promised that Abdullah the Butcher, well, he was going to come. I think he said Abdullah the Butcher was going to come. I mean, he's got Sheikh Abdullah, but he's been injured, so I think he mentioned that Abdullah the Butcher was coming, but he's not been here yet. Maybe he's... his papers haven't turned up yet, or he's promising something he's not delivered, you see. Maybe that's what it is. That's going to be a feature of this episode, which is that people are just getting under Sullivan's skin a little bit. And he's been in control, and now he's not. That's interesting, ain't it? Anyway, we start with the Texas bull rope match. Remember last week, Dr. Tom Piper, Pritchard, said that he was a Texan, and it was stupid of Roy Lee Welsh to have signed up for a Texas bull rope match because he's not Texan. You don't need to be a Texan to know what a Texas bull rope match is. I mean, I have to say that, Tom. Dr. Tom. I mean, I'm not a doctor. But, you know, I can lance your boil. I mean, that's a separate issue. But I'm not a doctor, but I do know that you don't need to be a Texan to be in a Texas death match. You don't need to be dead to be in a death match. You know, there you go. So, this is rather good in that there's a tug of war early on. It starts early, really. No one's avoiding each other. There's a tug of war with the rope and a knife-edge chop from the good doctor. Gordon Solie tells us that the rope is 8 feet and the bell is 3 pounds. It's got to be heavier than that. 3 pounds, that's nothing. Mind you, it is hollow, isn't it? And it is made of metal, of course, but surely it's heavier than that. It just makes it sound a little bit less of a weapon. Anyway, early on, Roy's obviously concerned that it is a weapon because he begs off. By the way, Chris Von Colt, or Chris Colt, or whatever you want to call him, is being fined $1,000 a day for every day he keeps the belt. Remember, he took the belt last week. For every day he keeps that Alabama championship belt, then he's being fined $1,000. He's not, though. But, you know, in kayfabe, he is. Back in the ring, we've got Roy, Lee Welsh, that would be, choking the good doctor with the rope, tries to drag him to all four corners, because that's the way you win, of course. There's a nasty leg drop off the top from Roy Lee Welsh. Pritchard is busted open, and Welsh really lamps him with the cowbell. It didn't seem like it was £3 when he did that. It seemed like it was 20 and more. He then chokes him and really sits back on it. It's like a camel clutch, but with a rope. Yeah, it's nice. A nice camel clutch accoutrement. Then there's the bull rope between the legs spot on Roy. So, you know, he's pulled and then he kind of somersaults. He does all that. Then Pritchard lamps him with the cowbell. goes to three corners. On the fourth corner, Roy comes to and runs at him, which pushes Pritchard into the corner. And of course, that's how he wins. Welsh isn't happy. There are some afters. He hangs him over the top rope with the rope, which always looks good, you know, and Adrian Street's in to save the good doctor. Yeah. And there they are at the desk. Capital T, capital D, the Geneva of wrestling. And Pritchard, which they did with Wendell Corley last week, has got the dried blood on his face. That's really well done, you know. It just shows the rigours of wrestling. The rigours of wrestling. That could be a new Netflix series. Now, there's Rip Rogers in the ring saying that Adrian Street's got one more chance. He's got one more chance for that belt. I think he keeps saying that, doesn't he? And Roy Lee Welsh is saying that he'll fight Tom Pritchard in a belt versus loser leaves town match, which they will have. I don't know who's going to leave town. I don't know if I'm going to be doing this. I think I'm going to be looking at another promotion next week. Oh, yes. That's exciting. What will it be? Will it be Florida? It could be. Will it be Mid-South? It could be. It could be. Any of those. Will it be the WWF? No. It's not that one. Anyway, we've got Robert Fuller and the Tennessee Stud who come to the ring with Born in the USA. Are you all right there, Bruce? And they're fighting the Headhunters, who have got Sullivan with them. It's a sudden street fight. Last week, of course, Stud told us what the rules were. Hit you with a boot. Try to push something down your throat, I think he said. I can't remember what it was. Was it a fist? A fist with a cast on it, yeah. And then smack you with a belt buckle. They're the rules. There are more rules than that, surely. But I have to say, Sullivan's not very happy. He's a bit confused, because he's going on about the Headhunters not really knowing what a Southern street fight is, because they're not Southern. American. And they could be from the south of New Guinea, I don't know. But he reckons that they don't know what a Southern street fight. Then it vacillates. Yes, I use the word vacillates, and you have to be careful, because you can go blind. It vacillates from that to, and Fuller and the Stud don't know what a Southern street fight is. I think they probably do, although listening to them last week, I'm not sure. Anyway, they're straight in, feet and fists, as Soldy says, which is great. The ref is Lloyd George. He's a politician. He was our Prime Minister. Has he come back to life as a referee? Blimey. He's been reincarnated as a ref. Stud smacks with a boot, because he's got that loaded. He's now admitting it's a loaded boot. So, he smacks him with it. It's all right now, though, because he's a good guy. And Sullivan says that they know nothing about the Southern street fight. And then he says that he'll kick all Southerners' butts. Right. I wonder if he's got a list. It's going to take him a long time. I mean, I know he's got Christmas time to do it. And he might not celebrate Christmas. But you're going to need more than a few days. Unless you are just giving probably 30 seconds for each butt to be kicked. 30 seconds, I've kicked your butt, off you go. And he must get tired. Maybe they're going to sit down and they won't need to lift his foot very far. Because it's going to hurt your hip after a while, isn't it? Certainly after the first, maybe 10,000. Then Soli says, he says, it's a little bit kinky right now. I don't know what he means. I'm not quite sure what he means. I'm not quite sure whether he means Sullivan's talk. I'm not quite sure whether he means the action in the ring. I'm not quite sure what he means. I'm not quite sure whether he means the nightlife. I don't know. But Sullivan's screaming, this is ridiculous. While Stud and Fuller, who are smacking the Headhunters, he's shouting they know nothing about Samoa. Right, well, it's not a Samoan street fight, is it? It's a Southern street fight. He's really confused, and this shows, I mean, I don't know whether he's doing it on purpose. If he is, it's a really good long angle. A really good long game from Sullivan, because it's all about, well, I'm a bit confused and I've lost the kind of confidence I had, and that's, it could be that. But then the Headhunters leave, they go, and Sullivan's at the desk, capital T, capital D, with the face protector again. He says that, again, that the Headhunters know nothing about a Southern street fight, and I have to say that the Stud and Fuller are very excited, and Stud didn't get to use his ugly stick, but he wants to use it again. I feel like I've missed out. Steve Armstrong's fighting Mike Fever. Fever! Well, this is a squash, isn't it? Fever! When you're wrestling. It's not a particularly important fight, this. There's an arm drag and a drop kick from Steve Armstrong. Sullivan comes back out. So he's never been so embarrassed. Well, it was you speaking, mate. He once stood and Fuller in a cage against the Headhunters in the first week of 1987 on TV. They don't say, yes, that's going to happen. Because I suppose they've been burnt by that $100,000 on a pole match that never came out. It was supposed to be a best of seven series, wasn't it? That never happened. So I presume they're thinking, you're always saying things and it never happens. So there you go. Then you've got a fever, back elbow and a rather unworked chin lock, to be honest. Then we've got Shake, Wrestle and Rock coming up. It's going to be a music and entertainment special. Even Gordon Solie will be involved. I think he's doing a ventriloquist act. I think that's what he's doing. Or maybe he's sawing Dr. Tom Pritchard in half. I'm not sure. Certainly Adrian Street will be involved because he's a bit of a singer, isn't he? Back in the ring, there's a lariat and a pin. Of course, it's Steve Armstrong who wins. Don't be silly. It's not Fever. Fever? No. It wasn't great, but his lariat was very good. When they showed it in slow motion, Armstrong's lariat was a thing of beauty, I have to say. The Flame is back. I never knew he'd been away. He's big. He's masked. He wants the bullet. He hates him. He wants to collect a bounty, but he says, I don't have to be paid to smack him up or beat him up or whatever. Well, then don't take the bounty then. He throws fire, apparently, which is why he's called the Flame. I don't know where he's been, but anyway, he's come back. He hasn't been there for the whole of 1986, because I've watched the whole of 1986. Have I watched the whole thing? Bloody hell, I must have done, you know. Right. At the Gordo, Alabama, they'll be wrestling in the high school gym. Just thought I'd tell you that, so make sure you get there in 1986. You will need Christopher Lloyd. You will need a DeLorean. It's your kids, Marty, your kids. All of that. Now, a hello to Cabrina Smedley from Wendell Corley. Nice, very nice, thank you. Thank you very much. It's nice to hear. And Steve Armstrong and the Bullet, with a bag on his head, of course, as usual. Does he not know that? Looks ridiculous. Does he not look back at it and think, I look a bit foolish with that in your head? Yeah, you really do. You know, Sullivan does the gags. I understand that when you were born, you were so ugly, they had to put a bone around your neck to get the dog to play with you. I understand that when you were born, you were so ugly that the doctor or the nurse slapped your mother. All that. He's doing all that. I mean, it's Christmas time, so it just shows he's got a bit of a florid feel at the moment, doesn't he? And here's Jimmy Golden. This is a good angle. Really good. He stopped by to say hello to Ron and Robert, and they called him in, but he wanted to... He was glad they did. He didn't expect it, but he's got a patch over one eye. Of course, his eye was hurt by Kevin Sullivan. And he says that his vision's coming back. His peripheral vision's not great. And he has to wear an eye patch when he's got bright lights, because that's not great either. So what he's saying is that he's got a family that rely on him. And when you are beaten up like this in wrestling, you can't provide for them. And he's going to retire. Now, Solly does a good job saying, what? What? Out comes Sullivan, and I was, as a jaundiced wrestling fan, I was actually, because it's all leading in to this lost his confidence thing. He comes in and says, I'm not here to cause trouble. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not here to cause trouble. I just want to say that, you know, I heard you were retiring, and, you know, I'm really sorry you're retiring. And then I think, oh, that's nice of him. And then he says, how's your eye? And jabs him in the eye. That's terrible. God blimey. That's how's the eye? We don't see it because he's got his back to us. But really, that's extraordinary. Extraordinary. Now, when you've got something that didn't work the previous week, the best thing to do is just to ignore it. Just ignore it and hope that people will forget about it. What you don't want to do is you don't want to show it again. Which is what they do. They show Chris Von Colt trying to put the handcuffs onto Wendell Corley and not being able to. Remember, he tried to put them on once. Corley was struggling, like you're supposed to. He thought he can't get them open, or he can't get them round my wrist. So he stopped struggling, still couldn't do it. He had to kick him in the twig and berries to gain a bit more time. Then he managed it, and he cuffed him to one of the turnbuckles and then beat him black and blue and red, because there was some blood too. Why didn't they just show the bit where he cuffed him to the turnbuckle and then beat him up? Why didn't they just show that? It would have looked like it was seamless. But no, they showed the whole thing when he couldn't get the cuffs open. Let's get to the ring. Because this is Dirty Wag Boy! Dirty Wag Boy! And Stubbs, Mr. Perfect, versus the Nightmares. Not even Nightmare 1 and Nightmare 2. It's a Nightmare, who's in there. And what they've said, of course, in previous weeks is that they, I think it was last week or the week before, they fought to a 60-minute time limit draw. Not on the match, not on the programme I saw, and the matches I saw, they didn't. They might have done it before they started. They might have done it in a break, but it was 60 minutes or 30 minutes or something. So it would have taken a significant part of the programme. This week's programme is 4.5 hours long. Now, the idea is that there won't be a time limit draw or a time limit so that the Anthony and Stubbs can lose. Now, there's an armbar from one of the Nightmares for ages. An Anthony elbow drop. Anthony then choked one of the Nightmares. We get a sudden advert. When we come back, we come back and the Nightmares are parading around the ring, holding their arms up because they've won. Gordon Solie has to very quickly say, "Well, just see what happens." Do not play an advert when you know it's a short match and they're going to win. Just don't. You can't be calling this on the fly. Surely not. It's not live, is it? So we see that they switched and Anthony went over to cover and one of them rolled him up for a pin. They don't get the belts. It's not a title match. And then there's a third bloke in the ring. I thought, who's that? It's Chris Von Colt. Really, he's got a gimmick. And it's not a nice gimmick. It's a Nazi gimmick, isn't it? And he's got that German helmet. And he's got the denim jacket with a swastika on the back, unfortunately. But he's not got that on this week. He's wearing some kind of smoking jacket. And a kind of cloche cap. Like a sort of russet-coloured cloche cap. He looks like he's settling down to read a book in front of an open fire. Listen, Chris, if you've got a gimmick, you probably need to keep doing it from week to week. It's not good to wear a different kind of clothing. I mean, so much so that I thought, who is this? It's just ridiculous. And most of this was ridiculous. But that's part of its charm. And that's why I've enjoyed watching it so much. Oh, I'll miss you, Continental Wrestling. And maybe I'll continue on my own podcast, which is Steve Swift's Rambling Reviews. Oh, I'm breathlessly excited by that. But next week, there might be something else for you. Do keep an eye out. I might also just give you a bit of a whodunit, or what is it? Something like that, with my Holmes Deerstalker on, Watson. But I've loved Continental Wrestling, and thank you for Sunday night's main event, marvellous people, for allowing me to indulge my whims in this way, and to continue to indulge those whims, and I hope you're enjoying the indulgence too. But not too much. You can put weight on. Ta-ta.